Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network.
In the future, none of you are heroes.
You're legends.
Get driven, stay driven.
To the Batmobile.
Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Howdy, folks. It is 10 o'clock on a Friday night, so you know what that means. It's time for Maverick's Comic Roundup. I am Maverick, and I welcome you to the world's finest comic book podcast hosted by a masked wrestling cowboy. So I do thank you for tuning in once again to the show. We've got a pretty full show planned for you tonight. We've got a new segment that we're debuting tonight when my daughter Megan is going to be calling in. She is an avid fan of My Little Pony comics, and she's going to call in for all you bronies and pony fans out there and tell us all about her favorite My Little Pony comics in a segment we call Little Meggie's Pony Roundup. And she's going to be calling in for the first one of those today. Also, a little later on, Mr. Kringle. We'll be calling in the show with another Mr. Kringle's Toy Shop, his second one. And this week he's going to be talking about something near and dear to my heart, the new DC Comics Mego styled action figures. So I am looking forward to that. I hope you are too. We're also going to have another episode of The Six Shooter, six comics I think you should be checking out this week. But first, let's go to the news. Disney XD has announced the full voice cast for the new Big Hero 6 animated series coming to their network next year. Now, Big Hero 6 was the Super Smash movie that was originally based on the Marvel comics, and Disney got a hold of it, made it very much their own. It's a very different interpretation than the original comic, but it was a huge hit, super popular. I absolutely loved it, and I'm very excited about the show. What's more exciting is they got 90% of the original voice cast. Maya Rudolph, Jamie Chung, Scott Adsit, Alan Tudyk, Ryan Potter, Genesis Rodriguez, David Shaughnessy, and Stan Lee himself will all be returning to voice the characters from the movies. Kari Payton, Brooks Whelan, Andy Richter, and Diedrich Bader are all announced for the voice cast of this show. Hopefully we'll get a trailer or some kind of sneak a peek soon. All we know is it's coming next year to Disney XD, and more Big Hero 6, and especially more Baymax is very exciting to me. Now over to WB, and DC Entertainment has launched a new strategy role-playing game called DC Legends. Storyline for the game has players gathering both heroes and villains to do battle with Necron and the Manhunters. This game is available now on the App Store and Google Play. Now, I haven't seen too much about this game. I was very, very curious to see how Necron, who is the, for lack of a better word, Satan character in the DC universe, manages to team up with the Manhunters, which are the robot army that the Green Lantern generally battles. They were not usually in the same type of situation, but I guess for this game they came up with a storyline. If you're playing it, looking into it, give me a holler. Let me know what it's all about. Let me know if it's worth picking up. I haven't downloaded it yet. two big trailers this week. Both debuted two very different superhero-related movies. The first one was Wonder Woman for the upcoming live-action Wonder Woman movie. I am having another fun night speaking. Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. The trailer was really, really cool. I know a lot of people were down on her casting, but I think she won most people over as one of the few bright spots in the Batman v Superman movie. The trailer looks excellent. A lot of people criticize the first trailer as pretty much looking like Captain America, which the criticism's there, but the time frame and the type of movie seems to be the kind of same, so I get that. But the new trailer was really cool. You got to see a lot of Wonder Woman in action. You got to see the magic lasso in action. Still working out exactly how the plot is, but it does look like it's going to take place both in modern times and back in the World War, the original comics. The other trailer, considerably less controversial, but 10 times as silly and entertaining, the new Lego Movie Batman trailer hit. I love the portrayal of Batman in the Lego movie. He stole the movie for me with the pseudo-Christian Bale-esque Batman, and they played into a lot of bat stereotypes and played them up for some really funny moments. He's getting his own movie, and the new trailer was absolutely hilarious. I know some people think Batman needs to be all dark and serious, but this one looks like, especially for the kids, it's going to be a really fun time. So definitely looking forward to that. In other DC movie news, it's a big, big DC entertainment news. Not so much a huge comic news week, but comic-related movies and TV are all over the news this week. Game of Thrones actor Ciarán Hinds has been cast as Steppenwolf in 2017's Justice League movie. Now, we've seen some teaser footage of the Justice League, and if it's true to what the tone of the movie is going to be, it looks a lot lighter than the Batman v Superman movie that we just previously mentioned. And I think they're trying for a lighter tone. I don't think they're going to go for pure on comedy, but there are some funny moments. There's a lot of action, it looks like. Not sure about Steppenwolf as the villain. Steppenwolf is one of Darkseid's lackeys. It's obvious that Side is going to play a big role going forward in these Justice League movies, very similar to how Marvel's using Thanos. But Steppenwolf is not a real well-known entity, so they have to really do a good job of getting him over as a threat and a credible threat that people will actually care about. So I'm not sure how that's going to go. But he's been cast, and it did say it's going to be mostly a voiceover since it's going to be a motion capture suit doing most of the action for Steppenwolf in the movie. And it also said that his appearance will be slightly changed from his brief appearance in the original Batman v Superman movie. So keeping an eye out for the Justice League movie, I'm hopefully optimistic because it looks better than the last mess. But it's still so far out, I can't say for sure. And finally, in the news today, Doctor Strange is in theaters right now, opened today in theaters everywhere, the latest Marvel Cinematic Universe film. Hearing that there's some big connections to the Marvel Universe as a whole, there is a huge spoiler I won't get into, way that Doctor Strange and his universe is going to tie into the Avengers universe. That'll be interesting to see how it's played out and how that ties in. But obviously we know how Doctor Strange, who will be appearing in the next Avengers movie, along with pretty much everybody else at this point. I think we've heard from everybody except for maybe the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Netflix heroes. But I'd love to see all of those included in this big, big war against Thanos coming up. So that is our comic book news for this week. We are going to take our first commercial break, and when we return, Little Meggie's Pony Roundup.
For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin in the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause, www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your girlfriend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well, then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
Are you looking for a mortgage for that new home? Do you want to refinance to a lower rate, obtain cash out, or consolidation? If so, call Anthony Muscarella of Advisors Mortgage Group. Advisors Mortgage Group is a mortgage banker and loan our own money to first lien mortgage loans. We have built a platform for a seamless and stress-free mortgage process, which remains our number one goal for all of our customers. We understand that success cannot be obtained without teamwork and communication, two of our most important strengths. If you're looking to apply for a loan or simply have some questions, please don't hesitate to give Anthony Muscarella a call at 732-749-3333, extension 12, who, by the way, has been recognized by Mortgage Executive Magazine as being one of the top 1% of originators in America. That number again, call Anthony Muscarella at 732-749-3333, extension 12, where we tailor our loans to meet your needs. Advisors Mortgage Group is an equal housing opportunity lender licensed by the New Jersey Department of Banking and Insurance. Branch NMLS number 173453. Loan officer NMLS number 111400.
All right, welcome back to Mavericks Comic Roundup here on the Totally Driven Radio Network. And it is time for our debut segment, Middle Megan's Pony Roundup, and I'd like to welcome to the show my daughter Megan. Hi, Meg.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Oh, good. I'm glad you can. Is your microphone, can you move it a little closer to you?
Okay.
Ah, much better. We can hear you. You sounded kind of far away. I wanted to make sure you were. Everybody could hear you well. So,
okay.
Megan, you read comics a lot, don't you?
Yes, I do.
And what's your favorite kind of comic to read?
My favorite kind of comic is My Little Pony comics.
Awesome. And they make two different My Little Pony.
They make two different ones. Hello?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. They do make two different comic books. One of them is My Little Pony Friendship is Magic, and the second one is Friends Forever. It's My Little Pony Friends Forever.
That's pretty cool. So you get to read two pony adventures. Now, are both comics the same story all the time?
No. They're completely different stories every month.
Well, that's pretty exciting. What kind of stories do you like in the My Little Pony? Is there some favorites?
Not really. I just like all of them.
How about favorite ponies?
I do have two favorite ponies. One of them is Twilight Sparkle, and my all-time favorite is Fluttershy.
Fluttershy and Twilight Sparkle. And are they in all the comics, or are they in some of the comics?
They're in most of the comics. Well, Twilight's in most of them, and Fluttershy's in some of them.
Well, that's cool. So you get to read them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what kind of stories do they tell in My Little Pony?
They pretty much tell almost all the stories you can think of. They always have, like, a main problem. Which
okay.
So, yeah.
Pretty cool. So they tell funny mm-hmm. stories and scary stories?
Well, most of them are funny.
Okay.
We've seen that all of them are funny. There's not usually anything too bad, but it's always really fun. Nothing too scary.
Well, that's good. Well, that's good, and it's always entertaining. Now, is it one story in the entire comic, or is it a lot of little stories?
It's all one story. Like, the whole comic's about one story.
Okay. That's cool, because sometimes comics tell a bunch of little stories in one book.
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes little jokes,
totally
yeah. But my
one
little...
main idea.
Okay, well, that's pretty cool. Now, is there a story that's your favorite that you've read in them?
So far, there is one of them that's my favorite.
And what one is that about?
It's about how Fluttershy and three of my other favorite characters, the Gamer Crusader, they go on an adventure, and Discord shows up. Through, like, this dragon... pretty much every animal you could think of mixed together.
Oh, my.
And he pretty much messes all of Fluttershy's plans.
Oh, no.
They go on a crazy adventure.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Travel.
And the cutie...
Yeah.
They time travel, too?
Yeah, in that story.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. And the Cutie Mark Crusaders,
yeah.
Tell me all about them.
They're pretty much like... They're the only fillies in the whole school that don't have cutie marks, so they join a little group together, and they try and find their cutie marks together. So it's really cool.
Oh, that's really cool. That is cool. I like that.
So, yeah.
That sounds like a lot of fun. And this past week, not this week, but last week, Friends Forever, okay. My Little Pony Friends Forever number 33 came out.
Yep. It came
and
out
you read it?
Last week. Yes, I read it.
Right.
I have read it. And it's very, very
awesome.
Cool and crazy.
Cool and crazy. Tell,
mm-hmm.
tell us what happens in it.
So, there were three main characters in it, which is AJ, also known as Applejack.
Yeah, okay.
Cherry Jubilee and Clamity... Calamity Maine, I think her name is.
Okay.
So the main idea is that Calamity Maine wants to have a bull show, but Cherry Jubilee doesn't want her to have it in where she walks, pretty much like where she is. And Applejack tries and helps have the bull show, having them both ways. Like, have the bull show and not have it in the area.
Trying to make everybody happy.
Yeah. Well, she's mostly trying to make Calamity Maine happy. So she's trying to convince Cherry Jubilee to let her have the bull show. And around the
okay.
end, they have a agreement where they do have, a deal. So they have the bull show, and then Carrie gets to do like this cool woke trick thing in the bull show, in the show. So yeah.
So everybody's happy. That's cool.
Yeah.
That sounds like a great adventure. Now, the artwork in the book, is it just like on the TV show? Is it a little different?
It's,
does it change?
It's mostly like the TV show. Like, all of the characters look the same, and the TV most of the same. A little bit more cartoony.
Oh, okay.
Like, sometimes they make them look different in some scenes. They make them look smaller, like when they were fillies, and they look a lot different from when they are used to them in the show. So, it's pretty cool.
And that does sound pretty, pretty cool. And so we talked to, do you like the artwork in the comics when they do things differently than on the TV show?
I really like, sometimes they make them smaller, and they look really cartoony. And I really like what they do that with Fluttershy, because she just looks so cute.
Oh, cool. That sounds like a very, very fun book.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who do you think would like to read My Little Pony comics?
Well, people that are into the show would probably want to read it.
Okay.
Or just people that like fairy tales and ponies and unicorns, Pegasus, and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool. So anybody who likes a good, fun fantasy story or is a My Little Pony fan.
So, yeah.
Very
That's
cool.
That's pretty much the most people that would want to read it.
That sounds good. Yeah. So do they tell special kind of stories, like holidays or stories based on the TV show?
They do Christmas ones.
Okay.
They do Christmas ones. They don't usually do other holidays, though.
Okay. That's kind of cool. Now, do the storylines on TV, on the cartoon, and the comic book ever kind of come together? Do they do the same?
Sometimes, like, they show most of the same characters in the books and the shows, but they never have the same stories.
Oh, good. So you can watch the TV show and the comics and get completely new stories all the time.
Yes.
Well, that's good to know. Very cool. So that was really cool. Friends Forever 33 was out, and then soon you'll have some more comics to check out. And will you call back and tell us all about them when they do?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yes, I will.
Anything else? Anything else you want to tell us about My Little Pony comics?
Actually, you can get them many places. With some of them, you can actually get them at... You can get them at a local comic book store. You can even sometimes get them at other stores. Like, sometimes when you look in the comics, you'll find a special place for, I don't know, like, say... You may have a, just saying, a random store, a Walmart exclusive one with a completely different cover than the ones you would usually have. I don't think they actually have them at Walmart, but still, yeah.
They do special covers for different stores.
Mm-hmm. So
well, something I didn't even know. That's pretty cool.
So, yeah. It's really cool.
Awesome. So do you like to pick out your favorite cover, or, you know, is there some that you like? Because you get more than one cover a month then.
But, like, there's always one, like, the regular cover always says most about the story. It also says, like, all characters. Like, the subs, like, the other two, they're usually two or three. Usually, one of them says a little bit about it, but not as much as the other one. And the usually if they do have a third one, it says nothing about the comic book.
Oh, how about that? So some of the covers are a little deceiving then.
Mm-hmm.
And you like the covers that tell the story more, at least tell you what's in the story so you know what you're getting.
Yeah, I do.
That's cool. Awesome. Now, do the covers have the same kind of artwork as the inside, or do they do special kind of pictures for the covers?
Sometimes they do what's like not actual pictures from the comic, but they do like the same kind of characters. But sometimes they do the really cool swirly artwork, which makes a bunch of like swirls and makes a story with those kind of things. So yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, it seems you know a lot about your My Little Pony comics.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you were picked to come in and do the Pony Roundup.
Mm-hmm.
And I very much appreciate that. So thank you for calling in. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Talk to you in
okay.
a couple weeks.
All right. Bye-bye. Was my daughter Megan calling in and telling us all about My Little Pony comics. She is an avid reader. She has a stack of them next to her bed that she reads and rereads. And here on Mavericks Comic Roundup, we talk about comics for everyone, and we mean it. We try to cover all different sorts of comics and all different sorts of styles here on the show because I think everyone should check out comics, and I believe there is a comic for everyone. We are going to take our second set of commercials at this time, and when we come back, we're going to have Santa Kringle back on the air talking in Mr. Kringle's toy shop.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Hey everybody, this is Nick Wilkinson from TV Nation and Totally Driven Radio and Entertainment. Sadly, each year, approximately 3.6 million children become victims of child abuse. My latest ebook, Child Abuse, The Ripple Effect, explores the long-lasting effects abuse can have on victims. Explore life after the abuse ends and how we cope with the tragedies of the past. Child Abuse, The Ripple Effect is available on Kindle for only 99 cents. And don't forget to check out my website, actingnotreacting.com, a common sense approach to teens in crisis. Let's work together and make this world a better place. And remember, stay driven.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes's native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults, and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence, or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromholmes.
Are you looking for a mortgage for that new home? Do you want to refinance to a lower rate, obtain cash out, or consolidation? If so, call Anthony Muscarella of Advisors Mortgage Group. Advisors Mortgage Group is a mortgage banker and loan our own money to first lien mortgage loans. We have built a platform for a seamless and stress-free mortgage process, which remains our number one goal for all of our customers. We understand that success cannot be obtained without teamwork and communication, two of our most important strengths. If you're looking to apply for a loan or simply have some questions, please don't hesitate to give Anthony Muscarella a call at 732-749-3333, extension 12, who, by the way, has been recognized by Mortgage Executive Magazine as being one of the top 1% of originators in America. That number again, call Anthony Muscarella at 732-749-3333, extension 12, where we tailor our loans to meet your needs. Advisors Mortgage Group is an equal housing opportunity lender licensed by the New Jersey Department of Banking and Insurance. Branch NMLS number 173453. Loan officer NMLS number 111400.
All right. Welcome back to Mavericks Comic Roundup here on the Totally Driven Radio Network on Roundup Night, Friday nights here on the network. And in a couple of minutes, we are going to have Mr. Santa Kringle himself calling in on the line, and I am so very excited. When I was a kid, some of the first action figures I ever had were the Mego action figures. And anybody my age played with superhero toys knows exactly what I'm talking about. Hopefully you've got a big smile on your face. These were action figures that were about 6 to 8 inches tall. They had literally so many superheroes that you could mix and match. You could have Spider-Man and Batman, and they were fully posable, and they had cloth outfits. And such a fond memory of from my childhood, I should say, having these toys and playing with them in my youth. And a couple of years ago, Figures Toy Company brought them back, Mego style action figures based on that style. They've updated them. They did recreations of so many of those action figures. And now they're branching out and expanding the line in ways never seen. And when they started the line, they didn't have the superhero licenses, so they did things like the Munsters and I Love Lucy and Kiss. And then eventually they got the DC Comics license and were able to recreate many of the world's greatest superheroes, which was very, very exciting. And now they have expanded on that and done so many that have never been done before, done so many different lines in the DC Universe type figures, including Teen Titans and Superman and Batman families, Captain Marvel, and just a whole wider range of figures. And they're also branching out, doing other things. But this week we're going to talk about the Batman 66 line from DC Comics. And Santa Kringle is a little late calling in, so I'm spinning this, but Batman 66 is an even more special place in my heart because that was one of my first introductions. I had two introductions to superheroes as a kid, and that was the Super Friends cartoon and the Batman TV show. And both of them have a very special place in my heart, and I very much enjoy the nostalgic look at them. And when Figures Toy decided or got the license for Batman 66 and made the Batman 66 line, I couldn't have been more excited. So I was very excited to see that they were going to get that line and that they did do that line. And I was very excited that they were able to create figures based on, you know, a toy style I loved as well as an action figure line I loved. And joining me now on the show, all the way from the North Pole, is Santa Kringle himself. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, hello, my friend. And thank you for having me back.
Well, I'm glad you could come back. And I'm really excited to talk to you about the Mego-style Batman 66 figures.
Oh, my friend, these are wonderful, wonderful toys. I will tell you, if you are a big fan of the Migos, then you will love these. And they bring back such great memories of such a wonderful television show.
Yeah, absolutely. As I was just saying before you were on the air, Batman 66 was like the introduction to me to superheroes. So that will always be my Batman. And I played with so many Mego action figures that when they released these two together, it was like the Reese's Cup, two great things that taste great together, you know, of my childhood just coming together.
Oh, and it's the truth. And the one thing, too, is that they are just coming out with such new and innovative characters. I mean, you have almost everybody from the TV show. And another fun thing is if you are a fan of some of those characters, it's your chance to have them in action figure.
Yeah, absolutely, because I don't believe they actually made authentic Batman TV show figures. I know some of the Migos were in similar costumes, and the tiny versions of those figures kind of resembled those characters, but as far as authentic Batman TV show toys, I don't recall there ever being any until now.
Yeah, and that is correct. And the wonderful thing is they, you know, they got the licensing. So you're seeing a lot of figures that were never released. And as you know, the Batman television show was a big hit in Hollywood. And a lot of the stars like to go on there. So you're actually getting action figures of stars that you've never seen. Like, for example, one of my favorites is the Vincent Price Egghead. You know, it's such a fun figure. And who would have ever thought you would have had a Vincent Price?
Yeah, that's something I really didn't, like, all the characters and all. But, yeah, that's really some heavyweight Hollywood stars being made into action figures that you really didn't consider. Yeah, because Vincent Price was Egghead. You had Burgess Meredith as the Penguin. Cesar Romero as the Joker. All these great, great villains are now being made into toys, you know, so many years later.
Exactly. You know, and some of the sets that one of the upcoming sets that really looks like a lot of fun is they have Alfred, the Bookworm, who was played by Roddy McDowall, Victor Bruno, who is King Tut, and Mr. Freeze. And again, these are the same exact designs as the Migos. They're very durable if you want to take them out of the package and pose them. But they also come with a lot of accessories, and they are just so much fun. They bring back such great memories.
That's cool. And now, which version of Mr. Freeze did they do? Do you know? Do you happen to have it in front of you there, Santa?
Yes, the Otto Preminger one.
Nice.
Which, you know, if you remember, he's the one without hair.
Right. And that's the one I tend to think of more as Mr. Freeze, because he's usually depicted as bald. So that's definitely the Mr. Freeze I think of. So that's a cool choice.
And then one of my other favorite things that they're doing with these figures is they're doing variations of them from some of your favorite episodes. Like, they have the Batman and the Joker in their swim trunks with their surfboards.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And the figure that, and I will send you a picture so that you can put it on your website, that absolutely had me laughing with a big ho-ho-ho. They have the Chief O'Hara in his surfing outfit. And if you remember, he had the big striped shirt, the big oversized hat.
Right. What were their names? They had funny names, him and Commissioner Gordon. I have to go back and watch that episode now because that was a great one.
Oh, I don't know.
And they went undercover as beach bums. Yeah, but that was definitely funny. That's great that they're making that figure, and that's awesome that they're able to do stuff like that. Like, I know I saw a picture of the pink cowled Batman from the Mad Hatter episode when he contaminated the cow and it went bright pink.
Yes. Now, as far as series, they are on series 5. And one of the other things that they've done with some of the figures is they've released removable masked ones, which is always fun. And
that's cool.
And the newest one is they have done a Batgirl, you know, who was the lovely Yvonne Craig.
You're okay. No worries at all, Santa. Yeah, Batgirl was big because when they announced the Batman 66 merchandise, and then Mattel did a series of figures, and
they, of course, the Figures Toys did a series of figures, and a lot of the products and merchandise that came out, she was omitted because they didn't have the licensing rights to her right away. So the fact that we're now getting Batgirl is really, really exciting. I've got a cool little Batman 66 collection going on of both the different styles of figures and stuff and the Funko Pop. So I'm very happy to be adding some Batgirl stuff to that soon.
It's interesting you mention about the licensing, because one of the figures that has been that people have been clamoring for was the Green Hornet and Kato.
Oh,
who did make an appearance.
That would be phenomenal. Right.
And they do have, well, they have half of it. They do have the rights from Van Williams Estate. So they can do one, but the
right.
Believe it or not, they and the Bruce Lee Estate has agreed, but the problem they're running into is the actual Green Hornet merchandise themselves is the ones holding out on them. Whoever owns the rights to that.
Right, you're dealing with two different sets of licensing, both the person and the character. I'm not sure who Classic Media had owned the Lone Ranger, but they were separated from Green Hornet for a while, and I think that still may be the case. So I'm not sure who owns Green Hornet's licensing, but I would love to see that happen.
Yes, that is one they were planning on doing. And they are still, like I said, their one sticking point was the estate of Bruce Lee, who did agree, but they are still at the sticking point with the Green Hornet licensing itself. But that would be a wonderful set. And real quick, if you'd like, I can go through the. I'm sorry, go ahead, my friend.
I'm just reiterating that would be absolutely exciting. So.
And real quick, if you'd like, I can go through the sets for you so that all the, you know, your fans know what's out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us, because there are so many different characters out there and so many great villains. Let's see who they've already got into.
Okay. Well, the very first set was, of course, Batman and Robin with Cesar Romero Joker and Frank Gorshin Joker. I mean, Riddler, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Set number two was Bruce Wayne and Dick Grayson in their civilian identities with Egghead and the Penguin.
Nice.
Now, set number three was one of my favorites with a new sculpt Batman head and a Robin with a removable mask. The Mad Hatter complete with a little pop-up hat with the little eyeballs at the top.
Awesome.
And one of my favorite characters, Shane, who was Cliff
Shane.
Robinson, if you remember.
Come back, Shane. Come back, Shane.
And then set number four, again, another favorite set of mine, which was Alfred, King Tut, and Mr. Freeze.
That really is a cool set, because now you're dipping into the really oddball characters. Bookworm was so much fun, as was King Tut. And Mr. Freeze, of course, is a Batman staple, but you don't see a lot of King Tut or Bookworm in anything. And Alfred is always cool. That was still my favorite Alfred.
Yes, yes. And the next set, which was Series 5, was the long-awaited Batgirl and Barbara Gordon figure. There was two. Batman with a removable mask, and Chief O'Hara.
Nice. So that was the Batgirl one. So that's the one I'll definitely be looking to see if it's been released, because I got to add that Batgirl. I have Batman in the Mego style. I have to add Batgirl.
Now, the next set was an interesting one. It was basically re-release of all the figures, but with invariants. They re-released the King Tut in his doctor's outfit, the Egghead in his artist outfit, the Mad Hatter in his civilian disguise where he had the big oversized coat and the funny hat on.
Right.
And Shane's costume from his second appearance where he wore the light shirt.
That's funny that they got into different disguises that they wore actually in the episodes. That's awesome. Do we have more?
Yes. And then, of course, you have the surf series, which is Barbara Gordon in a bikini. And you have the Chief O'Hara, like I had mentioned, and the Batman and Joker in their surf shorts and their boards.
Awesome.
And then the next set you have, and this one is wonderful, is an exclusive, which is Batman and the Pink Cow. And then,
very cool.
Again, now these are all exclusives that are unfortunately most of them are already sold out, which is a little bit sad, you know, if you're trying to collect them all, but still wonderful figures if you find them. They have Batgirl with a removable cow, the Riddler in a suit, the Joker in a gray suit, and this one is one of my favorites. It is the Riddler in his boxing outfit, as well as Batman in his boxing outfit, if you remember that episode.
Yes, I remember that. That was great, the big magnet under the ring.
Yes. And then you have the Joker in his opera outfit. And another one which I think is absolutely hysterical. It's the Joker in his prison outfit with his baseball and glove.
Oh, from that episode, yeah. When he literally sprung out of prison playing baseball.
Yes. So they have many wonderful, and they also came out with something which I thought was just wonderful, an accessory pack. And the accessory pack came with a lot of stuff that you would have seen in the show, such as the Batarangs, the head that he used to flip up to reveal the secret entrance to the Batcave.
Awesome.
The Bat Shields, the actual Bat phone, and Commissioner Gordon's phone that was under he had it under, like, the little glass dome.
The glass case. Yeah.
Yes. Crime Fighting Lab, and the favorite weapon, the Bat Bazooka.
Which always, always made me laugh. The only thing that's missing was Bat Shark Repellent.
Oh, no, it is not. It is in there.
You're kidding.
And they have a little can of Bat Shark Repellent, and they also have a big oversized bomb.
Oh, phenomenal. From the legendary movie. Oh, see, now that alone is worth getting for the great big bomb. Some days you just can't get rid of a bomb.
And one of the things, too, that I found very interesting was the detail that they go into on even the smallest things, like the little bat cuffs or actually working bat cuffs. You can put them on the villains, their hands.
Wow. So they actually work. That's some detail there.
And even the entrance bust, the head flips up to reveal the secret button.
That's awesome. It's absolutely awesome. I didn't realize, I know they did those lines, I didn't realize they went so deep and, you know, had gotten so specific with I knew they were making a pack, but I didn't realize there was that much involved in it. So they've really done a fantastic job with this line.
They really have, and they are really trying their hardest to keep the figures fresh. And they are so well made. The costumes, they go into such detail even on the costumes, not just on the accessories. So I say this is a wonderful set, especially with the holidays coming around. And another thing that they do, too, is if you're having trouble finding sets, each set, they have limited edition 4-packs.
So you can get them all at once.
And they are actually very reasonably priced. They are the same as if you would buy the 4 figures separately.
Well, that's really cool. So they don't jack the price up if you want them all. And some people prefer to buy them all at once and be done with it, especially if you're collecting the whole line.
Yes, exactly. And, oh, you know what? I have just come across something, and I don't know where these are from, but I will. They are coming out with another exclusive, and they call them the Heroes in Peril Pack. And it is all the heroes in giant purple bags tied up. I'm not sure what that's from.
I don't know. I don't remember one where they were all put in giant purple bags, but I'm sure it happened.
Well, you know what's funny? If you look at the packaging, they actually show you an episode where they are all in giant purple bags.
Well, then it had to happen. I just don't remember the episode. And I'm sure, you know, they've done such a great job of keeping it show accurate. They didn't just throw something in there. I'll have to go back and rewatch that episode to see. I have all of them, of course. I bought the box set that came out a while back.
Oh, it is such a wonderful show. And another reason that I thought it was so appropriate to review this toy this week was because of what came out earlier in the week.
Oh, and I ran out the day it came out and got it.
Oh, have you watched it yet, my friend?
I watched it once already. I'm going to go back and watch it again. Of course, Santa and I are talking about Batman, Return of the Caped Crusaders animated movie set in the world of, as we've been referring to it, Batman 66, the retro classic Batman show. Featuring the voices of original cast members Adam West, Burt Ward, and Catwoman was Julie Newmar?
Yes.
Or was it Lee Merriweather? See, now I don't see that makes me look bad.
Hmm.
It was Julie Newmar, I was correct. Julie Newmar. And that it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. They were able to do stuff in that show that they weren't able to, or in that cartoon that they obviously couldn't do in the show. And I think, as excited as I was about it, I'm a little more excited about the sequel.
Oh, they've already announced the sequel, have they?
You haven't heard, Santa. You're so busy making toys in the noise pole that you missed. There has been a sequel announced, and it brings together two of my favorite television star icons. The next one doesn't have a name yet, but it features, for the first time, except for the comic, they took the script and turned it into a comic, but for the first time ever, Two-Face will be appearing in the Batman 66 retro Batman universe, and he is going to be voiced by the legendary Bill Shatner.
Oh my, that's wonderful.
So I am so very excited about that. So the show's been gone a long time, but it's still got so much love that we're getting action figures and DVD releases and merchandise and now a sequel to the animated movie.
Oh. Well, now we have something to look forward to after the holidays, I guess.
Absolutely. Well, Santa, I know you got to get back to the North Pole. Thank you so much for calling in and checking out these toys for us. Who better than sitting in your toy shop going over some awesome comic book-related toys. So thank you.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Especially for you, because you're always on the nice list.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear. Thank you, Santa. And we'll be talking to – will we get you in again soon?
Yes, I will try and get back in before the holidays. And we can have a little Christmas special with some special toys that I'd like to review for the girls and boys.
That sounds like an excellent, excellent idea. So here's looking forward. Check it out, folks. We're going to have a holiday special coming up, and Santa's going to call back and give us some more awesome toys. Thank you, Santa Kringle. We very much appreciate it.
All right, my friend, you have a great one, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
All right, and that was Santa Kringle with Mr. Kringle's Toy Shop. And I think I was as giddy as a kid on Christmas morning when I heard that he was going to be talking about those Mego-style action figures. So hopefully you got some enjoyment out of it. I love it, and definitely walk down memory lane. And like I said, two great tastes that taste great together, two great things that make me a happy boy. So, segueing in, we got another segment, and it is called The Six Shooter. I should get some, like, sound effects for these. We're working on it, folks. Hopefully by the turn of the year, we will have all of our sound effects and new music and everything set up. We're working on it. Lots of things planned on the show, but The Six Shooter are six comics that came out this week that I think you may want to check out. And I try to pick a variety of things, although I do tend to skew superhero, but we're going to get into those this week. And my number six book this week is Faith Number 5. Faith, I've talked about on this show before. It is one of my favorite monthly comics. Love the book. The writing on the book is fantastic. This was their quote-unquote election special, so it took a little bit of a departure. It was three stories in one. The first one continued going on in the comics, where Faith was recovering from some issues that have been going on in her life, some crazy things that have been happening, and still trying to wrap her head around those. And she ends up trying to help a Hollywood starlet who is possessed by a talking cat. And that led to some funny Sailor Moon fantasies from Faith. And then the second story, she goes on and meets Hillary Clinton. She's covering a Hillary Clinton rally, and that's how it ties into the election special. And a little bit of a girl power moment there between Hillary and Faith. Clearly, there's a lot of election stuff going on right now in the world, and it seems that many of the comics tied into, whether advertently or inadvertently, and Faith bluntly put Hillary Clinton on the cover. That may turn off some people. It may entice some people, but I took it as it is. Faith's been a great book every month. I checked it out. They also had a third storyline where Faith is helping a young Psy-Op character who just discovered she had powers, and she came to the rescue of her because she was being taken advantage of, and ended up being a not-so-subtle reference to the upcoming Harbinger relaunch series that they're starting to hype big time for Valiant Comics. So it was a good read, not as strong as previous issues because they broke it up into three parts, but I really think if you're a comic book fan, you'll love Faith. I give it my highest recommendation every month. I'm glad I've been reading, and you can check out my review of Faith Number 1 on Comic Universe's Facebook page. One of the places I do comic universe reviews for is for the Comic Universe store. And Faith Number 1 was the first book I reviewed for them, so check that out. So, my number 5 book is one for the kids and or Disney fan. You know, I'm a Disney guy. I love me some Disney. I have some Disney girls. And Frozen number 2 from Joe's Books came out this week. And this is a really fun book. The Joe's Books company does some really, really great stuff with their comics. The art is spot on. All the characters look fantastic. But sometimes in a tie-in book, you don't always get Frozen number 2. It continues the story of the Frozen universe. There's small inner strips and short stories. It's a lot of fun. If you want to get a kid reading and they're into the Frozen, and a lot of people still are into the Frozen movie, pick it up and check it out. It's a fun way to get them involved. Number 4 is the other election special, and that was Catwoman Election Night Number 1. Now, in researching this book a little bit after I read it, I discovered that this started out as a very different book.
during the New 52 run, there was a book called Prez, and it was a revamp of Prez, which was a series back in the golden age of comics about a kid voted president. And this was a revamp where a young teenage girl got elected president via Twitter vote, obviously updating it. When that book got canceled leading into the rebirth, they had promised that there would be more stories to kind of wrap things up and tell that story. That somehow morphed into Catwoman Election Night number one. And the thing that struck me about this is how timely they tied into current events. Penguin is once again running for mayor in a trope that's been used so many times in the past. It seems like the Penguin is always running for mayor. And the thing that made me laugh was the fact that the Penguin wanted to build a wall around the poor section of Gotham. He very much spoke like Donald Trump. And they obviously played for some laughs some of the things that Trump has said that sounds very supervillainish at times came out of the Penguin's mouth. So, again, they're poking fun at Trump in the current election. However, the female character in this, they actually went and had a little Hillary fun, where the strong female empowerment mayoral character has a very deep, dark secret as well. And at the end, there's a little nod to Prez, and it ties her into the DC Rebirth universe, and oddly enough, she now has a strong connection to Catwoman. And then the follow-up from that is a Prez story that I guess ties up the loose ends of the story. Having not read Prez, I really couldn't follow what was happening too much, but I just thought it was interesting that we had two comic book election specials that came out the week before the big national election. There was a third one scheduled to come out. It's from Marvel Comics, and typical to Marvel Comics, it's not coming out till next week now, so we'll skip over that and keep going on with the six-shooter. My number three book was Superman 10, and I'm not a normal Superman reader, but I was curious about this book because it promised the first meeting of Jonathan Kent and Damian Wayne. Now, if you don't know who they are, if you're new to the Rebirth universe, Jonathan Kent is Superman and Lois Lane's son. They have a young son. He is going to start at the road down and will become Superboy in the future in the DC Rebirth universe. We know this because they've already started marketing an advertisement for a Batman Superman son team up book featuring Jonathan Kent, Superboy, and Damian Wayne as Robin. We've talked about him before on the show. Damian Wayne is the current Robin. He is Bruce Wayne's son with Talia al Ghul. And this was the first meeting between these two characters. And I've said before, I'm not really a Damian Wayne fan, but the way they've been writing him in Rebirth has legitimately had me laughing out loud quite a bit. He's so snarky and so smug and so obnoxious that you literally have to laugh at some of his exploits and how the other characters react to him. So even though I'm not a fan of the character, the way they've been writing him, very entertaining, both in the Teen Titans relaunch and in the Superman book this week. Obviously, if you're interested in the team book coming out, this is the first time the two characters got together. So you may want to check that out before the book launches. And interesting interplay with Superman and Batman involved too. Obviously, you know, the two fathers get into it a little bit, and it was actually a pretty fun episode issue. I always mix those two up. I don't know why. A very fun issue of Superman. So Superman 10 is my number three pick of the week. My number two pick of the week is one of my favorite new superhero team books. It's coming out of Marvel. It's Champions number 2. Now, I reviewed Champions number 1 recently. There's a lot of hype coming around this book. It's a team book from Marvel featuring some of their new team characters in it. You've got Viv Vision, the daughter of the Vision. Still not sure how that's possible, whether she was built or synthesized or however they went about it. I no idea. Totally awesome version of the Hulk. The new Nova, who is featured prominently in the new Spider-Man animated series on Disney XD, Sam Alexander. Miles Morales version of Spider-Man, the new younger version of Scott Summers' Cyclops is introduced this issue. And of course, Ms. Marvel seems to be the de facto leader of the team. I really like this book because it's a team book in the vein that it's not goofy, silly. It tackles some interesting themes about what it's like to be a hero and what a hero is supposed to be. And that's very, it kind of speaks out against so many of the comics. And one of the things I like about the Champions the most is that they want to help people. They want to be heroes. And the book is at least promising not to be all about superheroes punching out other superheroes and supervillains and superheroes having a grudge match. That's more suited for the WWE than a superhero comic. And I like Cyclops. He's been one of my favorite X characters. I didn't like where they took him the last couple of years. So when they brought in the new one, I was very interested in him. And it's been interesting to see his reaction to what he becomes in the future. So he's going to be a great addition to the team. He came in today, and there's with some friction, obviously, with some craziness going on. And a surprise last page that really threw me a bit for a loop. Interesting to see where that goes and how things play out. So Champions number 2 from Marvel. And if you pick 2, you'll get another set of standees. They did mini standees for issue 1 that featured the Vision, Spider Morales, and the Hulk. And this time out, you got Cyclops, Ms. Marvel, and Nova completing the entire team of champion standees, which is a really cool, neat thing to do. They also did some buttons and lithographs for issue 1 that they didn't do for 2, but just a nice way to get you to come back and buy issue 2, because issue 2 of most comic books usually takes a big dive in readership. So it was a nice, fun thing to get. And now I have all the champions in cardboard standee form who can stand around and watch me read the comic. My number 1 book this week in the Six Shooter is one that when I first heard the title, I snickered a bit because I thought it was a lame attempt at tying into something that happened too many years ago to be relevant in comics, and that is Occupy Avengers. And I didn't really get excited when I heard the name. Obviously, I thought it was kind of goofy. However, I have liked the current portrayal of Hawkeye, both in the Matt Fraction series and in the Civil War 2, the situation that had him in there. I'm not going to spoil it because it's a pretty big deal, and I don't know who has or hasn't read Civil War 2. So being a Hawkeye fan based on those two books and where they've been going with them, I decided to give it a try, and I'm really, really glad I did. And it turned out to be a really timely book. Even the Occupy name is, they don't reference it in there, and it's kind of silly, but I like the idea of everyman superheroes who are always kind of in over their head, and that's perfectly Hawkeye. And the fact that he got involved in helping people who are really, really downtrodden and really, really needed, kind of a hard-traveling heroes vibe, which I love that run of Green Lantern and Green Arrow. So the idea of Hawkeye doing that makes so much sense, especially coming out of how they've been portraying him lately as the everyman Avenger. He's just a guy who shoots bow and arrows. Or he doesn't shoot a bow and arrow. He shoots bows and arrows. He shoots a bow and arrow. And he teams up with Red Wolf, who is a Marvel character update from the old Western that I really haven't followed or read, but I like the way he was portrayed in the book. And they end up teaming up, and ironically, the story is about an Indian reservation that had its water poisoned. And I don't know when they planned this book or how far in advance they started working on it, but the fact that it hit this week is so timely with everything that's going on in the world that it really, really, they hit a home run, whether accidentally or on purpose, because they wanted it to be a human-type superhero story. And they absolutely succeeded because they tied it into stuff that's happening literally right now in the world. There's stuff that the big controversy, and the book plays into that. It's different but similar enough that you draw those comparisons, and it really sucked me into the book. And then at the end, it gets more interesting because there's a super villain involvement. A classic Marvel villain shows up to make trouble, and there's a bit of irony based on who it is. And it'll be interesting to see now that a supervillain's involved and it's not just some bad guys with guns, if there's a bigger situation at play, whether this guy is the mastermind or a hired gun to a bigger supervillain, I don't know. But I'm definitely going to go back and check out Occupy Avengers number 2. I was really surprised. I think you'll enjoy it. If you like those kind of stories, down-to-earth superhero guys, you know, without powers, trying to do what they can. You know, I really, really do. It's why I'm a Batman fan at heart, because ultimately that's when he's portrayed at his best. So, and that is my six-shooter for this week. If you want to check it out, I will have the six-shooter posted on Mavericks Roundup blog. And I will also be reviewing Occupy Avengers, if you want to read some of what I just said out loud, later in the week. That will be on Totally Driven Entertainment's website early next week, Occupy Avengers 1. So that's my six-shooter, Faith number 5, Frozen number 2, Catwoman Election Night number 1, Superman 10, Champions 2, and Occupy Avengers number 1. Next week we'll have a brand new six-shooter, and we'll tell you more about that. And it appears that I have had a guest hanging on the line, a caller hanging on the line for quite a while. So now that I've gotten all my business out of the way, I feel bad for making him wait so long, but all the business is out of the way, so I can talk to my good friend Magic Mike from the Totally Driven Radio Network. How are you, sir?
Hey, good. I'm good. Don't worry about it. Take care of your business. I was listening to the show tonight. I enjoyed the Santa Kringle, and I enjoyed the a segment with your daughter. I think you're doing a fantastic job introducing, you know, the kid's perspective of the comics, because as you know, you were a kid, I was a kid, and, you know, it's a good thing to do that.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's the thing I really want to touch on this show and in general, is that comics are for everybody, and especially for kids. They don't seem to write enough good stuff for kids, but it's out there. Well, now let me say that. They write a lot of really good comics for kids, all ages, not just kids, but all ages comics and kids comics. And, you know, I hear so much that they don't cater to kids because they don't read them. And to me, that's hogwash, because there's so much great stuff out there. And if you don't get kids reading comics, you're not going to have adults reading comics in a couple of years.
I definitely agree with that. And speaking of kids, I have three fantastic pickups. There's we have Christmas coming up, and I went over to DK, which is it's a good place to get your books. And I happened to go over there for the WWE encyclopedia, because those are the ones that put them out, for those of you who don't know. But anyway, so I'm looking at, like, all these brands, and I see Marvel, and I see Batman, and I see Star Wars, and I see they have encyclopedias. And I'm like, you know what? I'm a big fan. They're cheap enough. And this is kind of like my review. But I picked up the Spider-Man character encyclopedia, and it is to die for. It's unbelievable. It's got, like, it's amazing. It's got like 200 villains, and you know, I mean, 200 characters of all your villains, your heroes, your allies, from Aunt May, you know, just unbelievable, to Flash, to Spider-Man, Peter Parker. It's just an unbelievable pickup.
That's awesome, and I'm familiar with those books. I've picked up a few over the years. They're really great resources, especially if you're just getting into a character. And the good thing about DK is they update them every couple of years, so they never, you know, go without. You always get the updated characters and ideas, mm-hmm. so you're able to follow along. And they're a lot of fun. I absolutely agree with you there.
Yeah, Luke Cage is in it too.
Nice. Yeah, Luke Cage was a Spider-Man character. Not a Spider-Man character, but they were in the Avengers together most recently for a while. So they've crossed paths quite a few times.
Yeah, that's a tremendous deal to have that, especially in today's world. And then number two, I picked up. Well, I actually bought like six or seven of them. I just went crazy, and I got the DC, the Marvel, and I got the DC one, but they're not in yet. But Star Wars came in, and I love that it has the characters from the new one, the Awakened one, which is cool.
Nice, very cool. Yeah, like I said, they update them constantly, so they're great resources,
and
they're really
very
enjoy
accessible. They're very accessible for people that want to get a hold of them. They're just dynamic books, and I definitely highly recommend them. And then of course, Batman. Who on this podcast or this station or anywhere and fans listening right now does not love Batman? And what's the hottest costume this year regarding Batman?
Clearly it was Harley Quinn. I saw so many Harley Quinns of so many ages.
Yeah, but you know what scared me the most and I wanted to barf? You want to hear this? You're gonna laugh, and I should have did a disclaimer on my last show, which was last week on NFL Roundup. I did a slash Halloween special. Men, don't do it, especially men with beards.
I wholeheartedly agree. But you know,
I love women dressing up as Harley Quinn, but the men dressing up as Harley Quinn, that toes the line. And not only men, but husky men, big men. It's just crazy. But like I
not
said,
your cup
three.
Of tea, huh?
What happened?
Not your cup of tea.
Yeah, not big men. Oh my god! Now I wanted to cry when I seen that. And of course, on Facebook, a friend of mine is posting up. Oh, I went to see Harley Quinn, or I saw Harley Quinn. I'm like, Harley Quinn. That's like that's Harley, all right, but that's a man Harley.
Well, you know, that's kind of what Halloween is for. You can go out and do whatever you want.
Yeah, but I suggest
no matter
not
how
doing.
Crazy.
Yeah, I suggest not doing that. Actually, it's kind of funny because I really didn't dress up. This is on me too, I guess. And I was wearing my John Cena hat, shirt, or whatever, and some kid walked past my house and went, "Hey, Mommy, look, here's John Cena." I'm like, "You can't see me, kid. You can't
right?
see me."
That's the easiest costume to do. They sell it at Kmart, literally.
Yeah, well, I was just wearing the shirt and the hat. If ever I get invited to a party, I think I know what I'm gonna be for Halloween. I'm gonna do the old skipper act and get a blue shirt, a cap, and go with Gilligan's big buddy Skipper from Gilligan's Island.
Perfect.
Because I did a Gilligan one year, and then I did a Norton one year, and it went over.
No doubt, those classic costumes, especially because nobody.
So
really
how was anymore. Your Halloween, my friend?
My Halloween was definitely interesting. The girls are getting older and want to go trick or treating with their friends now, so we kind of had to do a split shift. The older one went with some of her girlfriends, the younger one went with some of hers. We had a lot of Halloween parties and stuff leading up to it. So it kept me running and moving, for sure. But
now,
it was good, and I'm ready to settle in for some Thanksgiving and Christmas for sure.
Well, let's not jump ahead to Thanksgiving. I'm not ready yet. My birthday is coming up November 19th, and for everybody listening at home, I am going to see Doctor Strange on my birthday. So first of all, number one, which my friend told me Doctor Strange will probably still be around, but I was hoping. I want to go check out Doctor Strange on my birthday, get something to eat with a friend, and I cannot wait to do that. Because I'm looking forward to Doctor Strange.
That sounds like a good birthday. That sounds like I've heard only a couple people I've talked to have seen it. I've heard some good things about it, some interesting things about it too. So I definitely want to check it out. I'm not sure I'll get to it in the theater. We've got some crazy weekend stuff coming up, but definitely will be checking it out. And
I
definitely want to get your opinion on it.
Yeah, I can't wait. And then of course Rogue One's coming out. And I'm actually, I know I'm jumping topics, but I'm so hyped for the Star Wars stuff that's coming out. I mean, how could you not be? If you're a Star Wars fan, and, Marvel and DC kick butt. But if you're a Star Wars fan, you got to check out Rogue One. I mean, that's just a given.
Oh, for sure. I am a big Star Wars guy, as most people know. So I am chomping at the bit for Rogue One. I cannot wait. For sure, it's going to be a great
Han
movie.
How about Han Solo? Are you chomping at the bit that Han Solo is going to get his own movie?
I actually am okay with it. Force Awakens was a tough one because I love me some Han Solo. He's the reason I love Star Wars. So that was a tough movie for me. But I understand that there's more coming. I'm hopeful and excited to see the Han Solo story. I hope they do it justice. I love so far everything I've read about it. The crew behind the scenes definitely knows what they're doing. And I think it's going to be a definitely good time. I got a couple years to wait on it. But definitely looking forward to all the Star Wars stuff. And swinging it back to comics, the Star Wars comics have been absolutely phenomenal, as has Star Wars Rebels and, the books. It's a good time to be a Star Wars dude, so I'm definitely enjoying that.
And Clone Wars. I got a lot of friends that were telling me about Clone Wars, and I'm like, I checked it out years ago, and then I heard Netflix brought it back. And I just want to give a shout-out to Netflix. They are doing so good with our comics and our movies. They're just giving us what we need, man,
Oh, for sure. And I have been binge-watched Clone Wars on more than one occasion. So I'm definitely glad it's there, including the lost episode.
You being a cowboy, it must be a tough time of the year for you, Mr. Buckaroo. Being a cowboy, you're always busy and doing superhero-ish stuff, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, actually, it's very true. It's a busy time of year, and I got some cool stuff coming up that'll be pretty exciting. I'm really excited about
Are you still wrestling, my friend?
Well, in theory, yes. I was working for two companies, and both of those companies seem to be having some promotional issues. So they've had to pull back on their shows, so I'm currently unemployed. But at the same token, I'm getting a lot of great comic book related opportunities. Some from the show, some before the show, some tied into the show. So I'm not missing it as much as I thought it would, because it's keeping me busy, both the show, and now I'm writing reviews for two different websites, and I have some appearances that are surprisingly comic book related and not wrestling coming up in the next into next May. I have three or four appearances coming up in I may actually go beyond that if this current deal I'm talking about goes through, but February, May, a couple things in between comic book related. And once I announce my big event coming up, then, that'll be actually something coming up. So I'm open to more wrestling stuff. Doesn't seem to be a lot of room for a crazy masked cowboy kind of guy. But over in the comic book world, they embrace me with open arms, man.
And that's important. I'm glad you're doing a great job, with this podcast. Friday nights, like you said, it's roundup night. Your podcast is amazing. It's a topic that everybody definitely should listen to. Call in, talk to Big Maverick about some stuff. I mean, hey man, I'm your dedicated caller. I try to bring a lot to the table because I'm a comic book geek, and everybody was like, oh, you know, all my friends were like, oh, you're a big wrestling guy. I didn't know you liked Batman and Spider-Man and Star Wars and you know, and stuff like that. And I'm like, you know what? Everybody likes different stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely. And let me tell you, all your friends should definitely tune into next week's show because I'm going to give next week's show a plug. Next week, I'm calling the show Wrestling with Comics because there's something coming out next week that you're going to be very interested in, and that is the first of the new WWE comic books. It's a special one-shot called Then, Now, and Forever, and it comes out next week. And it's a new line of WWE comics, and it from the appearances of it, it looks like it's going to be close to real WWE storylines. Now, I'm not sure about what Then, Now, and Forever is going to be. There's going to be a lot of awesome variant covers. You're just going to blow your mind when you see them. And then after that, in January, the first issue of WWE comics is going to have a story about the Shield. And kind of a behind-the-scenes thing, and I guess they're going to fictionalize it, or I don't know how they're going to do it, but I'm very curious. But it's going to deal with Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, and Roman Reigns, and the comic book version of The Shield and its breakup and stuff like that. So I'm very interested to see that. But next week is Wrestling with Comics. Because of that one coming out, I'm also going to get some of my wrestling peeps on, and we're going to talk about how closely related comic books and wrestling really are, because there have been a lot of wrestling comic books and there have been a lot of comic book wrestlers. Obviously this show is hosted by one, but over the years, going as far back as Bruno Sammartino.
Well, don't give it away, don't give it a tease.
All right, I'll hold back on that one, but
if you would allow me, I got a quick little funny story about my show that happened on Tuesday, because it's just amazing. You never know what's going to happen on the show. I had a guest on my show, and we were talking about an event, and I had Brandon Ashworth on my show, and he has his own. He has his own wrestling promotion in Ohio. And we were talking about, you know, and he said to me, sir, how many people can get out on the line? I said, a lot. Why? He says, well, if you do me a favor and let me, you know, go ahead, I'm going to see if I can get Bobby Fulton on the phone. Can I do that? I went, Bobby Fulton of the Fantastics? He said, absolutely. So within minutes, Bobby Fulton calls. Now, you know, for the young guys that don't know who Bobby Fulton is, I grew up with this wrestling NWA. I'm sure, Maverick, you know who he is.
I am giddy that you were able to get him on your show. That's amazing.
Dude, I was. This is even, here's the best part. The best part of it is, I love wrestling, you know that, okay? The best part is that I didn't even ask him or invite him to come on my show. He did come on the show, but I didn't invite him back because I invited him to do the Grapevine with Smith Hart. And I'm his co-host, and Smith Hart and Bobby are good friends. You know, Bobby worked for Smith. So as a good guy that I am, I went and got him for Smith because Bobby was on my show, and it was nice. He stayed a little bit and talked a little bit and stuff like that. But I tell you what, though, Smith Hart is a good friend of mine, and I got him for Smith.
Oh, it was very, very nice. Yeah, that's really cool. But you had him on your show briefly, but then he's going to call back and talk to Smith. That's definitely going to be a show worth tuning into, folks.
Yeah, that's this Tuesday night. We're gonna make it happen. And the promotion that I was talking about is XMCW Extreme Maxim Championship Wrestling. Actually, it's in West Virginia.
That's all right. We travel the world here on the network. So
yeah, because you know what it is. You know what it is. I get so many wrestlers from different towns in Ohio, and I just had a referee on the other day too. So, but yeah, man, your podcast. I just want to end it with this saying: your podcast is great. Your topics are great. You know, you're a great friend to me. Dave, though, man, you got to call my show so we can talk about your wrestling history. You know,
I am very excited and interested in doing that. So definitely,
you know,
hit
where
me up
you
off
wrestle.
This
way, the fans of my show, and we could talk anything, man. We could talk. We could go from wrestling to comics. We can interject. My show is a public forum for that, and I welcome you to do that. Hey, when I had the chance, I had Bay on the show. And Bay and I did a great podcast together, you know, because shout out
awesome.
To Bay Ragney. I was going to give a shout out to Bay Ragney because without Bay and without you guys, there would be no place for me. I mean, I worked for a different company before I came here, and they left a bad taste in my mouth that I wanted to do podcasting. Actually, they left a bad taste in my mouth, but I wanted to do podcasting so bad. So when I hooked up with Coco and Riri, they told me about, you know, Bay, and we hooked it up, and Bay welcomed me with open arms. And, of course, you know, I got to meet you guys. And it's like a dream come true to me to be around you and Frank at the time and, you know, all these different guys. You just took me in like a family.
Well, you're definitely an important part of the Totally Driven family. We're glad you're here. I love that you call in, and I can't wait to get back on your show. It's been a while since I've been there.
Yeah,
so
you
definitely
come on,
get me
man.
Up.
You're welcome anytime. You know, I know the times they are changing. So if you allow me to plug just the times, I'll do that. You know, I don't want to be a hog, but my show is Pro Wrestling Now with Mike Ferrara, and it's on this network, Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network, and it's on Tuesdays at 5 p.m. to about 7:30, and then on Thursday night we have Pro Wrestling Now 5 o'clock to 7:30, and then of course I'm a co-host with the great Smith Hart from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Smith family, his family, you know, we all know the history. And that shows Tuesday nights, the Grapevine, the Hart Grapevine. And, of course, the time is 8 p.m. So you never know, well, who's going to come on the show, what guest is going to come on the show. But, Maverick, you got to come back, brother. We need you. I need you, you know?
Well, absolutely. We're going to make it happen, and we'll be announcing soon when I'll be returning to Pro Wrestling Now, because I don't get my wrestling fix except when I talk to you a little bit during the week. So we'll definitely get into the whole history of Maverick Part 1, as it were. And I'm definitely looking forward to that.
Yeah, I can't wait, man. You know, there's a lot that I want to delve into, and I cannot wait till we talk wrestling. And, you know, like, and we talk comics, we talk wrestling. We're all over the place. This is Totally Driven Radio Entertainment Network at its best. Maverick, it's been a pleasure, my friend. I'm going to ride off into the sunset, and to quote the great Smith Hart, adios.
All right. Happy trails, my friend. And that was Mike Ferrara. He is the host of Pro Wrestling Now. He's the co-host of the Hart Grapevine, and he is one of the very important cogs in the wheel here that is Totally Driven. He does a lot behind the scenes, a lot of great promotion work, and he's a really fun guy to talk to, and can't wait to get back on his show. I'm appreciative that he checks in with us every week, and we get to talk some fun comics and stuff. So that is Magic Mike. Make sure you check him out. Definitely a good time. And that is going to bring us to the end of the show. And I promised last week that I had a big announcement, and I'm not going to squelch on that. I am going to make an announcement, but I'm going to make a bigger announcement coming up. And the big story is coming this holiday season, I am going to be hosting and organizing a little thing that I'm calling Maverick's Comic Heroes for the Holidays. And essentially what I'm doing is I'm partnering up with libraries here in the Pennsylvania area, because that is where I'm out of and that is where the show is out of. And I am going to set up with several local businesses that I've talked to. We're going to set up a drop-off location where you can drop off new comics and graphic novels and trade paperbacks. And then we are going to take those comic books for the holidays, and we're going to have a special library event where kids can come and get free comic books and trade paperback events at a big special comic show at a library. And this is important to me because I wanted to do something to give back for the holidays, and so many people do toys and clothes and action figures. I wanted to do something, and I wanted to tie it into what I'm doing. And comic books right now, it's a great way to get kids to read, to write, to draw. It's something I've advocated for a while. It gets kids being creative. And there's a lot of areas, there's a lot of local areas that their libraries are underfunded. Libraries are such a huge resource for both comics and reading and kids. And we're going to have a party, and I'm going to be there, and I'm going to bring some of my friends along with me, and we're going to make a little bit of a holiday comic con as it is. And we are going to give out free comics both to the library and to the kids who come to the party, because we want everybody to share in that. And we want everybody to share in the love that is comics. So that's Mavericks Comic Holiday Comic Heroes. It's a mouthful, I know. I had a better name for it, but I wanted to be more inclusive. So we're going with Holiday Comic Heroes. And coming this week on the Facebook and all around, you're going to start seeing information about the drop-off locations and time frame and the libraries benefiting and the big show. And there's going to be a lot of talk about that on this show, as well on Mavericks Roundup, the blog, and on social media about it. So I hope that this turns into a cool event. I really believe in it. It's something I've been wanting to do for a long time. So, you know, Holiday Comic Heroes is coming, and I will have more information on that next week. I also said next week is Wrestling with Comics. I'm going to have some of my wrestling contemporaries. Magic Mike will be calling back, as well as some of my other wrestling contemporaries, and we're going to discuss the very close ties of wrestling and comic books in celebration of the new WWE comics. So I'm dipping back into the wrestling world for a little bit. It won't be all wrestling, but it's going to be comics and wrestling. And like I said, there is comics for everybody, and I truly mean that. And next week we're taking a look at something a little bit different, and I hope it's a fun and informative show, because I'm going way back on this one, folks. I have some things that'll surprise you. So, with all that being said, for more information on my show, blogs, appearances, and more, please go to mavericksroundup.com. We're planning a bit of a redesign for that coming up with more features and information. You can also follow me on Instagram, search at Mavericks Roundup, my Facebook fan page, as it were, at Mavericks Roundup, the Maverick. You can also search, and I should show up there. If you want to read my weekly comic reviews for the Totally Driven TV network, you can go to totallydriventv.com. I'm also writing reviews for the Comic Universe bookstore in Folsom, Pennsylvania. Go to their Facebook and check it out. There is a album started with my reviews and a cover picture of the book I review, and you can search them at Comic Universe. And you can also check out my Star Wars Family podcast that I host with my daughters, one of which was on the show today and did fantastic. And that's called Galactic Clubhouse, and you can go to galacticclubhouse.libsyn.com for that, or you can also check it out on Instagram and Facebook by searching at Galactic Clubhouse. I would like to thank all of my guests, Santa Kringle with that awesome toy review, Megan with Little Meggie's Pony Roundup, and of course Magic Mike from the Totally Driven Radio Network for tuning in. And I thank you for listening to the show, and I hope you tune in next week. And until then, happy trails.